seventh Imam, he says, one who does not perform self-examination every day is not from among us. This means he's not from among the believers. This means that he is not from us Ahlul Bayt. He is not related to us. In other words, those who examine themselves every day, they watch for what they have done throughout their days, how their state of their spirituality and their soul is, these are the ones who stand a chance to be those true followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. And then, you know, when you examine yourself, there are two things that you need to keep in mind. One, all those good deeds that you're performing, you have to try your utmost to continue them. Because Satan and Iblis, he's going to try to intervene and stop you from carrying out those good deeds. The second thing you need to keep in mind is, repent for your shortcomings. Turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all make mistakes here and there. We have negligences throughout our lives. Let's be real. We have to repent to Allah. We have to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These two things will allow you to make your examination of yourself productive. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Basij, Islamic Revolution's Fruitful Tree. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. One of the obvious characteristics of Imam Khomeini was his foresightedness and acumen. He would make decisions whose accuracy and importance would be known later on. For instance, less than 10 months after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, he thought that, in order to safeguard the revolution and the country, it was necessary to have an organized and trained body. Thus, the Imam issued the order of establishment of such an organization on December 5, 1979, which came to be known later as Basij Mostaz Afan, meaning Volunteers of the Oppressed. Then, 10 months after this order, the Iraqi dictator Saddam, at the behest of his masters in Washington and Moscow, initiated an all-out aggression against Iran and the Islamic Revolution to overthrow the Islamic Republic system. In those days, the unique and fateful role of the Basij forces was revealed to all. Imam Khomeini said, "If we want to present a perfect manifestation of self-sacrifice, sincerity and love of God and Islam, who will deserve more than Basij and Basijis?" The outstanding characteristics of Basij forces caused Imam Khomeini and Ayatollah Khamenei to praise them and use lofty words and phrases to describe them. Perhaps the loftiest phrase that the two leaders of the Islamic Revolution have used is Shajare-e Tayyebe, meaning pure and sweet-smelling tree. This has been adopted from ayahs 24 and 25 of Surah Ibrahim of the Noble Quran. There, God likens pure word to a pure tree whose roots are fixed in the earth while its branches are in the sky yielding fruit whenever God permits. Ayatollah Khamenei describes Basij forces with reference to these ayahs. "You, Basijis, are the sweet-smelling and pure fruits of that tree which the great Imam planted. This fruitfulness will continue. Just as God says, have you now seen how God gave a parable of a pure word resembling a pure tree whose root is firm and whose branch is in the heaven, yielding its fruit every time by the permission of its Lord? When the field is favorable and ready and the seed is pure, that plant is not terminable. I mean, no factor can harm it. Basij is such a sweet-smelling and pure tree." According to Ayatollah Khamenei, the sapling of Basij, which had been planted by Imam Khomeini absolutely for God's satisfaction, has turned into a strong and a sturdy tree with firm roots and ample branches that bears new fruits on different occasions. Basij has proved its unending potentials for solving intricate problems and removing various obstacles in every domain. This lofty status of Basij is originated in the divine virtues such as spirituality, sincerity, popularity, insight, religious awareness, submission to the leader, purity, humbleness, simplicity, inexhaustibility, and constant preparedness for every job. Basij has turned into a role model for other freedom-seeking nations. Today, Lebanon, Iraq, Yemen, Syria, occupied Palestine, Nigeria, and other places have learned the model of Basij in their fight against oppressive and colonialist regimes and elements. Prince principally any person or group that works with pure intention for the sake of serving the poor and downtrodden masses, God will exalt it in the eyes of people. The characteristics of Basij were manifested during the 8-year holy defense in the best way. These characteristics continued after the end of the war in the form of helping the poor, assisting those hurt in different events, safeguarding the security of country, and health programs such as nationwide vaccination, etc. Currently, since the outbreak of coronavirus in the country, Basij forces have participated in a variety of activities to hamper the spread of the deadly disease and aid the low-income classes who have lost their job. Ayatollah Khamenei says, "Wherever there is a struggle, there is Basij. Struggle in the field of knowledge, struggle in the field of politics, struggle in the field of social activities, struggle in the vast field and great international arena. These struggles continue and will continue." Elsewhere in his remarks, the leader enumerates the features of this jihadi spirit, saying, "Work for God and as a duty, not forgetting the ideals, using all forces and capacities, relentless, inexhaustible, and enthusiastic effort, trust in the youth and belief in the principle of we can." Dear listeners, the important point about Basij is to preserve and bolster valuable divine characteristics. Ayatollah Khamenei keeps stressing strengthening of moral virtues to all youth, especially Basiji youth. He reiterates to them to work without expecting any reward or even encouragement. Like Imam Khomeini, he highlights the principle that a member of Basij should work only for God. Insight is another characteristic of Basij. Ayatollah Khamenei says, "Dear youth, dear Basijis, wherever that you are in the country, increase this insight day by day. Do not let some material needs and paltry issues prevent insight. Protect your insight and know your enemy. The enemy has various stratagems, and that nation will be successful which is not deceived." On the importance of acquiring modern sciences and technologies for Basijis, Ayatollah Khamenei says, "Basij should enter the arena of knowledge ahead of all. You should go and capture the unknown scientific vistas, technological vistas, and innovative vistas." In other words, he believes that Basij should be equipped with two tools of knowledge and faith in order to be helpful in diverse spheres of services to the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Ummah. Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, said, "I always envy of the sincerity and purity of Basijis and appeal to God to resurrect me with Basijis, as in this world I am honored to be a Basiji."
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue, and I'm your host, Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the early history of the Muslims, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Please stay tuned. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir was the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and he was the fifth divinely appointed imam among the household of the Holy Prophet. He was the son of the fourth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, alayhi salam. Now all historians and traditionalists of Islam are unanimous that among the descendants of Imam Hassan and Imam Husayn, a maximum of religious sciences were expounded by Imam Muhammad al-Baqir. That is why the title of al-Baqir was given to the Imam, which denotes one who splits knowledge. Imam al-Baqir contributed greatly to the science of Quranic exegesis, scholastic theory, religious law, and Islamic jurisprudence, among many other subjects.
قال الإمام الباقر عليه السلام الذي يمنع الزكاة يحول الله ما له يوم القيامة شجاعا من نار له ريمتان فيطوقه إياه ثم يقال له إلزمه كما لزمك في الدنيا وهو قول الله تعالى سيطوقون ما بخلوا به يوم القيامة.
Imam al-Baghir alayhi salam stated, he who refuses to pay the alms tax or zakat, on the day of resurrection, Allah will transform his wealth into a cobra with two venom glands that will coil itself around him and be told, tighten your grip on him, just as he was tight-fisted with you in the world. This is in accordance with Allah's verse in the Quran, Surah 3, Ayah 180, which says, they will be collared with what they grudge.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us on the program. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. Dear friends, we find that Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, peace and blessings upon him, in one of these golden dialogues, he talks about certain pieces of advice, certain wise commandments, certain special knowledge to one of his students by the name of Jabir bin Yazid al-Jufi. Now, in this conversation between the teacher and the student, we find that Imam al-Baqir gives Jabir bin Yazid al-Ju'fi some immortal commandments, which are full of excellent moral qualities and moral standards. One of them is as follows. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, indeed, the believer should take care of himself to overcome their caprice, their fancies, their whims. For he sometimes straightens the crookedness and opposes one's caprice and fancies out of the love for Allah. One's soul sometimes overcomes them. And when the soul overcomes, this is probably talking about the nafs overcomes the person, then a person follows his whims, his hawa'i nafsi, as they say. And so when this happens, Allah refreshes the person, and the person becomes refreshed through istighfar, through repentance. Dear friends, in this interesting dialogue, this interesting conversation, we find that Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam tells us, and he tells his student Jabir bin Yazid al-Jufi, that we should be very careful that our whims, our fancies, our materialistic desires don't overcome us. And at the same time, he also says that, remember, these fancies, these whims, these hawa'i nafs can be opposed and they can be overcome out of the love of Allah, exalted and blessed be He. Because when you love Allah, the exalted, then you are not attracted to these whims and these fancies and these hawa-e nafsi. And of course, finally, Imam al-Baqir tells us in this dialogue with his student that the nafs, this part of ourselves, which tells us or encourages us or whispers us towards that which is not good, sometimes this overcomes us. And when this overcomes us, then the only way to be refreshed, to be renewed, is via istighfar, asking forgiveness from Allah, the Exalted. Beautiful pieces of advice and wonderful and complex knowledge in this dialogue between Jabir bin Yazid al-Ju'fi, the student of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and Imam Baqir alayhi salam himself. And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
Just to let you know that when you hear these fatwa from our mujtahideen, you know, people ask this question, oh, mujtahids are giving fatwa, where does it come from? Well, the fatwa in most cases basically are based on the ahadith of the imams of the Ahlul Bayt. Or even if it's not exactly from the wordings of the ahadith, it is based on the principles derived from the Quran and the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt. You know, Imam entering the majlis, the masjid, with people around him, people from Khurasan who had come to meet him. This was probably around the Hajj time. And they sat down with him, asking him different questions. So he says, this fellow, you know, he realized he is the Imam. So he went to that gathering, sat down. He says, I also went close by to see what kind of questions this fellow wants to ask. He says, after the people who had come with the Imam had finished with their questions, when they left, and this fellow was still sitting there, Imam looked towards him and Imam asked him, Mananta, who are you? And he says, my name is Qatada bin Di'am al-Basri. Imam says, oh, are you the Faqih Ahl al-Basra? Are you the scholar, the mujtahid of the people of Basra? And he says, yes. Now, Imam knew about him and knew about his opinions. And it seems that, you know, he was not on the same line and same page as the opinions of the Ahlul Bayt are concerned. So Imam says to him, Ya Qatada, Inna Allah Azza wa Jal khalaqa khalqan min khalqihi faja'alahum hujajan ala khalqihi. Allah created from His people, from the people whom He created, He selected some of them as His hujjat and proof for the people. فَهُمْ عَوْتَادٌ فِي عَرْضِهِ. They are the pivotal, you know, pillar of this earth. قَوَّامُوا بِعَمْرِهِ. They are the one who are upholding the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نُجَبَاءُ فِي عِلْمِهِ. They are the noble ones in the knowledge that Allah has given. استفاهم قبل خلقه. He chose them before He created anything.
Thank you very much, dear friends, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
limelight.
On his way out the door, said one Nobel-winning economist, Mnuchin is effectively trying to create a financial crisis. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Andrea Germanus Reiner. This article is published under the heading Bond Stress Behavior. Mnuchin slammed for Biden's snub that could sabotage U.S. economic recovery. Stay tuned, please, for the details of this article. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin was accused recently of taking exactly the wrong policy move right now and sabotaging the U.S. economy for the incoming U.S. administration after announcing an end-of-year cutoff to several key coronavirus relief lending programs at the Federal Reserve. CNBC's reporting quoted one financial expert who likened the move by Mnuchin to stripping a ship of its lifeboats when they're most needed. The outlet explained, Mnuchin announced recently that he will not extend the Federal Reserve's emergency lending programs that use Congress CARES Act beyond December 31st. The move is expected to drastically reduce the central bank's ability to shore up the financial system. It's hard to find an economic rationale for it, Carl Weinberg, chief economist at High Frequency Economics, told CNBC's Squawk Box Europe recently. I don't think there is a good economic or public health or social reason to explain why they want to cut these programs, he added. So it's kind of got to be politics, doesn't it? At issue are an array of relief loan programs facilitated by the Fed with funds provided by the Treasury that were authorized by U.S. Congress earlier this year. These programs include the Primary Market Corporate Credit Facility, Secondary Market Corporate Credit Facility, Municipal Liquidity Facility, Main Street Lending Program, and Term Asset-Backed Securities Loan Facility. With respect to the facilities that use CARES Act funding, Mnuchin wrote recently to Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, I was personally involved in drafting the relevant part of the legislation and believe the congressional intent, as outlined in Section 4029, was to have the authority to originate new loans or purchase new assets, either directly or indirectly, expire on December 31st, 2020. As such, I'm requesting that the Federal Reserve return the unused funds to the Treasury. This will allow Congress to reappropriate $455 billion, consisting of $429 billion in excess Treasury funds for the Federal Reserve facilities and $26 billion in unused Treasury direct loan funds, wrote Mnuchin. Mnuchin's letter, as Bloomberg News reported, elicited swift rebuke from Powell. In a statement released recently, minutes after Mnuchin's letter, the Fed urged that the full suite of emergency facilities established during the coronavirus pandemic continue to serve their important role as a backstop for our still strained and vulnerable economy. The central bank, noted Axios, almost never issue public statements. The Trump administration's move sparked a chorus of criticism from economists, including Paul Krugman. In a Friday Twitter thread, Krugman said Mnuchin is effectively trying to create a financial crisis, or at least make one more likely. Krugman added that, basically, we're looking at more sabotage by an administration on its way out. Mnuchin's announcement also drew scathing rebuke from Neil Borowski, former Inspector General of the Troubled Asset Relief Program, who described the program's move to the chopping block as a reckless political decision and called on the Trump administration not to succumb to the political temptation to straitjacket its successor. In his recent op-ed at New York Times, Borowski urged Mnuchin to follow the approach of George W. Bush administration's outgoing Treasury Department when it did all that it could to preserve President-elect Barack Obama's discretion to use congressionally approved bailout funds from the Troubled Asset Relief Program to steer nation's recovery. Trump's Treasury Department wrote Borowski should reserve its reckless course and follow the precedent set with TARP by extending these programs to give the newly elected administration as much flexibility as possible. It makes no sense to celebrate the programs for the success they have had in calming markets, Borowski added, while at the same time pulling the rug out from under them at a time when they're likely to be most needed.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
وما ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents. For humanity,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners, this is your host Ali Maytham. You're listening to IRIB English Radio and this is For Humanity. Well, in the previous episode we talked about how justice is very important when it comes to human rights, and establishing justice is something that comes first when you talk about human rights. So the right to justice, that is very important and valuable right which Islam has given to a man. As a human being, the Holy Quran has laid down, do not let your hatred of a person incite you to aggression. Chapter number 5, verse number 2. And do not let evil will towards any folk incite you so that you swear from dealing justly, be just that is nearest to heedful. Chapter number 5, verse number 8. Stressing this point, the Holy Quran says, you who believe stand steadfast before God as witness for truth and fair play. Chapter number 4, verse number 135. This makes the point clear that Muslims have to be just not only with ordinary humans, but even with the enemies. In other words, the justice to which Islam invites her followers is not limited only to the citizen of their own countries or the people of their own tribe, nation, or race, or the Muslim community as a whole, but it is meant for all the human beings for the world. Muslims, therefore, cannot be unjust to anyone. This permanent habit and character should be such no man should ever fear injustice at their hands, and they should treat every human being everywhere with justice and fairness. Well, when you talk about equality of human beings, Islam only recognizes absolute equality between man, irrespective of any distinguished of color, race, or nationality, but it makes it an important and significant principle, a reality the Almighty Allah has laid down in the Holy Quran. All mankind, we have created you from a male and female. In other words, all human beings are brothers to one another, though all their descendants from one father and one mother. And we set you up a nation and tribe so that you may be able to recognize each other. Chapter number 49, verse number 13. This means that the division of human beings into nation, race, groups, and tribes for the sake of distinction, so the people of one race or tribe may meet and be acquainted with the people belonging to another race or tribe, cooperate with one another. The division of a human race is neither meant for one nation to take pride in a superiority over others, and nor it is meant for one nation to treat another with contempt or disgrace, or regard them as a meant and discreet race and observe their rights. Indeed, the noblest among you before God are the most heedful of you. Chapter number 49, verse number 13. In other words, the superiority of one man over another is only on the basis of God's consistent purity of character and high morals, and not the basis of color, race, languages, and nationality. And this is even superior based on piety and pure conduct does not justify that such people should play lord and assume heirs and superiority over other beings. Assuming heirs and superiority in itself reprehensible wise, which no God-fearing and pious men can ever dream of preparing, nor does the righteous have more privilege or right over other, because the run counter to human equality, which has even laid down in the beginning of this verse as a general principle from the more point of view, goodness and virtue in all cases better than wise and evil. This is exemplified by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, and is saying, thus, no Arab is superior over non-Arab, nor does a non-Arab have any superiority over an Arab, nor does a white man have superiority over a black man, or a black man any superiority over a white man. You're all the children of Adam, and Adam was created by clay. In this manner, Islamic established equality for the entire race and struck at the very roots and distinguished based on colors, language, and nationality. According to Islam, Allah has given man this right of equality, has the brightest. Let's take a break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
So we're back, dear listeners. We just talked about Hadith, where the Prophet openly and clearly told the people that no one is superior. You know, this is the reason when I see a lot of non-Muslims ask me a question, why do you all pray in one row? And this is the reason, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not, say you're an Arab, or he doesn't say because you're white, you're black. No, everyone's equal in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, no man should be discriminated against on the ground of the color of his skin, his place of birth, the race of the nation in which he was born. Malcolm X, Shaheed Malcolm X, the famous leader of African Negroes in Africa, has launched a bitter struggle against the white people of America in order to win civil war for his black competitors. When he went to perform the pilgrimage and saw how Muslims of Asia, Europe, Africa, America, and those different races, languages, and colors were wearing one dress and wearing hurriedly towards God's house, Kaaba, and offering prayer, standing in one row, and was no distinguish of any mankind, then he realized this is what the solution of the problem of color and race and what he had been trying to seek and achieve in America so far. Today, a number of non-Muslim thinkers who are free from blind prudence only admit that no other religion or way of life solved this problem with the same degrees of success with which Islam has done. So, when you talk about the right to cooperate and not to cooperate, because this is like a major problem, and when you see in the Muslim community, a lot of people say, do we cooperate with them? Do we not cooperate with them? Well, Islam has prescribed a general principle to panel out in importance and universal application, saying, cooperate with one another for virtue and heedfulness, and do not cooperate with one another for the purpose of vice and aggression. Chapter number 5, verse number 2. This means that man who undertakes a noble and righteous work, irrespective of the fact whether he's living in the North Pole or South Pole, has the right to expect support and active cooperation with the Muslims. On the contrary, that he prospective deeds of wise and aggression, even if he's our closest relation or neighbor, does not have the right to win or support help in the name of race, country, language, and nationality. Nor should he have the expression that Muslims will cooperate with him and support him, nor it is permissible for Muslims to cooperate with him. The wicked and wisest person may be our brother, but he's not of us. He can have no help or support from us, long as he's not repent and perform his ways. On the other hand, the man who is doing deeds of virtues, righteous, may have no cynic with Muslims, and Muslims will be his companions and supporters, at least his well-wishers. When you talk about the rights of citizens in Islamic State, we have discussed the human rights in general. Now I would like to take a step up the questions of rights of citizens in Islamic State, as these rights are more extensive and the general human rights, which have decreased earlier and need suppression, treatment, the security of life, and prosperity. When we talk about this topic, in the address with the Prophet ﷺ, delivered on the occasion of farewell of Hajj, he said, your lives and properties are forbidden to one another till you meet your Lord on the day of resurrection. Almighty Allah has laid down in the Holy Quran, anyone who kills a believer deliberately and will receive his reward as a sentence to life in hell forever. God will be angry with him and curse him and prepare a dreadful torment for him. Verse number 93, chapter 4. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said about the dhimmis, the non-Muslim citizen of the Muslim state, one who kills a man under covenant, that is a dhimmi, will not only smell the fragrance of paradise. Islam prohibits homicide but allows only one exception, but the killing is done due to possession of law, which is the Holy Quran reveals, that is bi'al haqq, with the truth. Therefore, a man is killed only when the law demands. It is obvious only a court of law can decide whether the exaction is being carried out with justice or without justification. So that is it for today. Don't forget to visit our website, which is www.parstoday.com, and click on the tab Call of Islam, where you can find our programs as well as this one. And you can email us and contact us on englishradio@irib.ir. With that being said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
رحمة أرسلته للعالمين وعلى آل النبي أجمعين فبهم نرجوك أحسن ختمنا.
In the limelight.
The article you're about to hear has been authored by Claudia Sun and carries the title, Is Trump Trying to Take the Economy Down with Him? Stay with us for more on this topic. Consumed by Election Day, the U.S. Congress effectively abandoned the country when it failed to reach an agreement in October on a desperately needed relief bill. Now, its energy is geared toward the partisan mess of the presidential transition and two Senate runoffs in Georgia. The result has been that the stability in the markets, as well as recovery in the broader economy and state and local governments, is largely resting with the Federal Reserve, specifically its use of emergency lending tools in partnership with the Treasury to buy trillions in corporate bonds, to make crisis loans to medium-sized businesses, and to municipalities looking to plug some extreme budget shortfalls. These emergency facilities, as they're called when they are authorized by CARES Act in the spring and set to expire next month, played a major role in staving off free fall in the credit markets. Recently, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin sent a shocking letter to Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, announcing that he was not going to extend the emergency programs for municipalities and medium-sized businesses, a retreat which could be disastrous for major sectors of the U.S. economy, even if the stock markets focus on positive vaccine news. Mr. Mnuchin misleadingly spoke on CNBC as if he were simply following the intent of the law by yanking this monetary aid away, and he put the onus on Congress to reappropriate these funds, even though widespread reporting suggests his boss, President Trump, has no interest in new deals. Tellingly, a couple of programs that helped Wall Street were allowed to live on in an abundance of cushion, as the Secretary's letter claimed. The Federal Reserve would prefer that the full suite of emergency facilities established during the coronavirus pandemic continue to serve their important role as a backstop for the still strained and vulnerable economy, the central bank said in a statement recently. Secretary Mnuchin's move comes just as Joe Biden is preparing to name his own Treasury Secretary, and it fits a growing pattern of Trump's team doing everything it can to undermine and kneecap the incoming administration's ability to crisis to manage. For those wondering how an alphabet soup of emergency financial measures that can be turned off by a lame duck cabinet member whim came to be so important, no, it's not supposed to work this way. On paper, U.S. Congress should have seen that the ongoing crisis, including the roughly 1 million teachers and many other public workers in education who have been laid off because the state and local budgets are in shambles, was getting worse, and that it required them to pass renewed direct fiscal aid. That, of course, hasn't happened. Still, there was hope that the Fed could make up for it by being even more aggressive about its ability to issue low-cost loans, using ample CARES Act funds and its own statutory powers. Instead, while the Fed's emergency loan programs to backed stop the financial markets have been widely seen as a general success. The loan program it set up for state and local governments, the municipal liquidity facility was disappointing. Because the Fed's municipal loan terms are so tough, there were few takers. Only two loans have been made, one to the state of Illinois and another to the Metropolitan Transportation Authority of New York, for a total of $1.7 billion, which is 0.3% of the $500 billion Congress authorized for facilitating such loans in the CARES Act. And for the MTA, those loans remain inadequate, as New York City still plans to lay off subway workers and drastically cut service. Mr. Powell has often sounded exasperated when expressed about the program this fall. He explains that private actors in the municipal bond markets are there to make the vast majority of loans, so we, the Fed, only actually have to do a backstop, which stabilizes the private rates being offered. Then he sidesteps follow-ups like those from Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, which argue that those private loan terms are still seen as onerous by state and local leaders from Louisiana to California. If still pressed, he repeats over and over the limits of the Fed's authority to make emergency loans. This most recent news that Secretary Mnuchin has not only been tamping down any consideration of the Fed using the emergency program more boldly, but now also plans to shut it down, has shown that Chairman Powell has a point. If you get into the weeds of the CARES Act, you will see that Congress instructed the Fed to work with the Treasury on the details of the emergency lending facilities, and that the Treasury has the ultimate say.
جهان ما ضبط صوت بزرگی است که صدای ما را هر کلمه‌ای که از ما صادر شود.
The world we live in is a large recording apparatus which records our voice. Every word of it.
One of the most outstanding features about him is that he cared for the humanity, and he mentioned this all the time and said لأجل الإنسان, because of the humanity.
Well, within the social activities we can count one of his greatest things that he started when he went back to Lebanon, and that was the dialogues between the different religions and تقريب المذاهب. And that's how we see, like, he was very close to the youth as well, because he used to visit the church as well and the different
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm Atta, the host of this program. The teacher is an analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim thinkers, scholars, and philosophers all across the nation of Islam. And with me in the studio are two guest speakers, two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, to elaborate on the thoughts and works of Imam Musa Saad, one of such scholars. Dr. Murtaza Azadeh, assalamu alaikum brother, and welcome to this show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. I'm glad to be here.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, assalamu alaikum brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome. So in this new series of the program, The Teacher, we are mainly concerned with the thoughts and most outstanding elaborations and opinions of outstanding Muslim thinkers. After Shahid Murtaza Mutahari, we are discussing the thoughts and works of one of the other outstanding Muslim Shia scholars, that is Sayyid Musa al-Saad, mainly known as Imam Musa al-Saad, a Lebanese-Iranian cleric and philosopher, who was very much famous for his open-mindedness. He was disappeared in Libya in 1978, If he is alive, may Allah give him health, and he passed away, may he rest in peace. It is still not clear, even in the news, that from 1978, where this great outstanding scholar is living. Sayyid Musa al-Sadr was famous for giving outstanding lectures, and most of his audience were the average youth of Lebanon and Iran. He was famous for giving lectures in both the Arabic language and the Persian language. So for today's discussion, we want to listen to one of his Farsi audio files along with the English translation, and then we'll get to the elaboration by the scholars over here. Let's listen to that and we'll be back.
بهره بردن از زیبایی های زندگی، بهره بردن از نعمت های الهی به طور معقول و منطقی.
Enjoying the beauties of life and the divine blessings in a reasonable manner not only are allowed but also desired by God, as we have received from the traditions of the infallible imams. So it is possible to move in a way where human's body enjoys and his soul is happy and his moods and thoughts are calm, and at the same time his self is satisfied. What good would it do those who ignore a great part of them, their instinct and natural spirit for finding God, or get drawn in their lusts and pleasure, or even retire from society and communicative life? One should educate, become a socialized person, and still remain a religious person. All these gather and unify. All will establish a single path.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The teacher, what you listened to was Imam Musa al-Sadr, the Farsi audio file, along with the English translation. So, Dr. Azadeh, let's start with you for this episode, brother. This religion for life also is misunderstood, brother, sometimes. Because we find some of the religious people who are spending on the way of Allah, but they get to excessive use of, we can say, the money and the materials around them. And they think because they are spending for the religion of Allah, so they find salvation in this world. This is also, I mean, this religion for life is also might be misunderstood by some of the Muslims. Isn't it true, brother?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, misunderstandings can happen for anyone. Okay. You know, spending the gifts that God has given you in an improper way can happen for every person, regardless of their faith, if they do not have a proper understanding of the wisdom behind these gifts.
I know, but sometimes the people do not give it religious color. I mean, sometimes our expenditure and spending of the money and the charity that we are given are considered in the religious framework, okay?
You mean so they are not giving it a religious, or they are giving?
They are giving it a religious framework, but at the same time, it seems that it is not the proper way.
You know, I think in many cases, the problem is something else. People mm-hmm. know that they are doing right. In most cases, people may really be misunderstanding. But in most cases, those people who are doing that type of things, they know that they are wrong, but they are using religion as a means to justify their wrongdoings. And that is even worse than those people who are doing these things without the name of the religion. Okay. Because if you are exploiting religion in order to justify your wrongdoings, that is even a worse crime.
A worse crime than those people who do not believe in religion.
Absolutely, because you are actually deviating or defacing